little boy said, "No, my dog doesn't bite." So the man tried to pet the vicious dog and almost took off half of his arm. And he was so angry, and he turned to the little boy and he said, "I thought you said your dog doesn't bite." The little boy said, "That's not my dog." So as a mu'min, yes, lip service, I can give the greatest speech about Allah. That's different to really having embraced Allah as kabir, as azim. Because if I did, then there are certain characteristics that we would have. So, this, brothers and sisters, this Fatimiyya, we realized that it wasn't a quick fix. It wasn't like, okay, well, tell me the three things. I do this, and I do this, and alhamdulillah. It's not like that. This is a journey. Yes, we took some steps last Fatimiyya. The way that these lessons were actually arranged, the idea was that between speeches, the person would take 2 or 3 days and try to just absorb the material. We don't have the opportunity to do that. We have to go through them, and we'll go through them as best we can. But to absorb these and think about them. So, what we're doing is a technique that we learn from the ulama of akhlaq. There's a technique that they have, that they've taught us, from the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt, something that they've gained. What's the technique? The ulama tell us this. If you and I want to develop a certain trait, I want to become this way, that way, you're encouraged to read those ahadith to talk about the results of that trait. When I, as a believer, hear, for instance, about kabir and azim, that if I can really truly embrace Allah as kabir and azim, all of these different benefits are there, then my nafs starts to long for it.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen Ghafur Shakurun Wadud محمد يا مؤمني صل عليه.
إلا أن عودتهم إلى ديارهم رفعت من معنويات الشعب الفلسطيني وقوته لمواجهة الكيان الصهيوني.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Good night to all listeners. You are tuning to Iran Radio broadcast from Tehran. Very nice to have you with us. I'm your host for the next hour. Stay with us into the early hours of this morning. You are listening to some interesting facts about Islam. Muslims believe they are members of a worldwide Muslim community known as the Ummah, united by a religious bond that transcends tribal, ethnic, and national identities. The first mosque built in the U.S. was the Mother Mosque of America, which was built in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, in 1934. It is still used for worship today. And now we'll listen to the continuation of Iran Radio. We start off this hour's program with To My Brother. The program examines the universal principles containing the teachings of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, and their importance for contemporary individuals and societies. Our varied radio productions feature will follow, and after that we have Viewpoints. The program presents an analytical roundtable discussion of various political and social issues of the Islamic world today. And to round up this hour's programs, we have Dicky. The program presents short answers to doubts and ambiguities raised about various Islamic and Shiite topics. Stay with us for the next hour.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
السلام عليك يا أمين الله في أرض.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. This is To My Brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. It's great to have all of you here, and today we want to talk about a character who not only influenced Muslims across the world, but influenced many non-Muslims as well. This great personality is the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him. And as history is a testament, and furthermore both friend and enemy have testified openly, Imam Ali alayhi salam was not tainted with any vices, unlike so many others who surrounded him and opposed him. He had a perfect faith in Allah, and so he acted according to his belief. Imam Ali alayhi salam was a lantern of guidance in his time, where the sunnah of the Holy Prophet had begun to be forgotten. Yet Imam Ali remained steadfast on the path of the pure Muhammadan Islam, like a solid, unshakable fortress in the middle of a great wild storm.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام ما كذبت ولا كذبت ولا ضللت ولا ضل بي.
Ali alayhi salam said, I have neither spoken a lie, nor have I been told a lie. I have neither deviated, nor have I been made to deviate others.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is To My Brother, and we're talking about the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
So, dear friends, humbly at your service, speaking about the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam, alhamdulillah. It is such a beautiful persona to be speaking about indeed. We find that one of the very beautiful aspects of the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam, something that, you know, every single human being can in one way or the other really benefit from and really move forward and have progress and development in their life, is this faith that Imam Ali alayhi salam had, and more specifically, the faith that Imam Ali alayhi salam had in the Almighty Allah. We find that Imam Ali alayhi salam, he at one time said that even if the covering, meaning the veils of the facts of faith, are uncovered for me, this will by no means increase my current conviction. So just to repeat that, he says that even if the coverings of the veils are uncovered for me, this will by no means increase my current conviction. So meaning that the conviction and the faith and the iman and the belief of Imam Ali alayhi salam was to a certain extent that if all of these veils of doubt and are removed from his face or from his eyes, that he's at such a high level that his conviction wouldn't increase. It's a very powerful statement. I mean, you know, the more you think about it, it means that he is at the peak of conviction. He has the peak of yaqeen. He is at the peak of his faith in the Almighty Allah. To the point where he says that, listen, if these veils of the material realm were to be removed from my eyes, and that he sees the ultimate reality the way that it is. Really, I think the more I try to explain it, the more difficult it becomes to explain, because it's such a profound statement. But this amount of faith is what really motivates an individual, and it gives support to an individual, and it fuels an individual to be able to do the great things that they do, or the great things that they can do, right? If you want to achieve something great and something amazing, you have to have some kind of a support structure behind that. You need a motivator. You need something to fuel you, that spark to get you moving and get you going and get you running. And this is what that primary and that fundamental motivator is that faith in the Almighty Allah. The stronger our faith in Allah, our belief in Allah, our trust in Allah, our love in Allah, you know, the more we're going to be able to do out of life, and the more we can do life. It is really in the trials and tribulations and difficulties and calamities and tragedies that every single one of us face in our life. If we have that faith in the Almighty Allah, only and only then will we be able to surpass and pass and come out victorious from these trials and tribulations of life. A very thought-provoking lesson indeed, brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
تمام ارزش ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib. This means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
IRI IB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir. And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله سبحانه وتعالى in chapter 3 of the Quran in verse number 33 makes an announcement where he says إن الله اصطفى verily God has chosen Adam and then Nuh and then the family of Abraham and then Imran over the rest of the people in the world. When you look at this verse of the Quran, you come to realize that all human beings have been created by Almighty God, but they are not equal in the eyes of God. As far as their status is concerned, you know, when it comes to the prophets of God, the messengers of God, those who represent Him in conveying His message, they are at a higher, you know, status than other human beings. I would like to take this opportunity to actually talk about the special status that God has given to Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet. And let me, you know, just read to you two out of so many narrations, authentic ones that we have from the books of the Sunni Muslims. One is from Abdullah ibn Abbas, when somebody asked him, can you say something about Ali to us? So it seems this is the days, latter days when Ali was no more alive. And so Abdullah ibn Abbas says, let me narrate to you a saying of the Prophet. إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَمَرَ بِالْأَبْوَابِ الشَّارِعَ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ فَسُدَّتْ. He says, one day the Prophet gave the command that all the doors opening inside the mosque, فَسُدَّتْ, it should be, he ordered it to be closed. إِلَّا بَابُ Ali, except the door of Ali. فَإِنَّهُمْ وَجَدُوا مِنْ ذَٰلِكَ. Others who were told to close their doors, they felt a little bit bad about it. And so when the Prophet heard about all these complaints, he actually gathered them in the mosque. And he gave a speech there. Different narrations gave, you know, different parts of it, but it must have been a very brief speech. This is the basically the main part of it, where he says, he's now addressing the Muslims. He says, بَلَغَنِي أَنَّكُمْ وَجَدْتُمْ مِنْ صَدِّ أَبْوَابِكُمْ وَفَتْحِ بَابِ عَلِيٍ. He says, I've been told that some of you feel bad that I have closed your doors opening inside the mosque and I have allowed the door of Ali to be open. وَإِنِّي وَاللَّهِ مَا سَدَدْتُهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ نَفْسِي. The Prophet says to them that by God, I have not closed any door by my own will. Inna ala abdun ma'mur. I am the servant of God. I was told to convey the message and I conveyed the message. Umirtu bi shay'in fafaltu. I was commanded to do something and I did it. In at-tabi'u illa ma yuha ilayya. The Prophet says, I don't do anything but what is inspired and revealed to me by Almighty God.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the program, To My Brother. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.
Allah's love has no limits. Allah's love has no boundaries. For every raindrop that falls, for every ray of sunshine, for everything is under His control. You cannot see Allah, you cannot touch Allah, but you can feel Allah. He is there in every tear that falls, in every smile that shows. Allah is all around us. I am whatever I may be, but Allah has already planned my destiny.
When you travel to a historical city, the goal is not just to visit museums and beautiful monuments, but you want to mix with the locals and learn about their traditions and culture. In recent years, many historical houses in Iran have turned to accommodation places, which are called Bumgardi. These are neither hotels nor hostels. They are local traditional houses that provide the opportunity for their guests to meet with locals and live like locals, even for a short time. Nar Titi is the first house we visited, a beautiful place in the small town of Taft, with several traditional elements. An Iranian Zoroastrian couple owns the house. Traveling also means doing activities that we would not have done elsewhere. Each night, all the travelers who stay in this cozy place meet with the owners of the house, drink tea, and eat freshly picked pomegranate from the backyard. And so, they can experience a little different trip and realize that we all share the same fundamental values and same objectives. We're all part of the same planet, and this makes us stay connected.
Staying in these kinds of places adds to one's understanding of the world and understanding of people. It is something which gives you an understanding that all of us are the same. We're all people. We're much more similar than we are different. And when you start taking governments and other things out of the situation, it's just, we can enjoy being with each other and understanding each other and learning about each other.
Another differentiating element of the house is a wall full of memories of those who stayed a while in this place. A very interesting wall that takes you to a journey around the world.
Et c'est une expérience particulièrement enrichissante puisque ça permet de partager ces expériences entre les différents voyageurs qui se croisent ici.
In Iran, when a guest or loved one leaves our house, we accompany him or her to the door and throw water to show we want him or her to return very soon. With this compassion, we left that beautiful place to discover other local guest houses. The second place is the House of Baran, which means rain in Farsi, a beautiful adobe house that truly represents the city of Yazd. A very simple house, but artistically decorated and perfectly designed with traditional Persian elements that constantly reminds you of the peaceful spirit of Iranians. A beautiful house with very positive energy. There's a logic behind the location of every piece in decorating this guest house. Some of these elements are symbolic, and some others are still functional.
The house has lots of interesting features for me as a visitor. So Abbasi, owner of this guest house, had to adjust the stairs and make them more comfortable for us, people of modern age, to be able to walk down. Because apparently, back in the old days, they were building these stairs very high. The underground room, and there is about 15 to 20 degrees Celsius temperature difference comparing it to upstairs. So making it a perfect room to chill and maybe take a nap during the hot days of summer. Also during the cold days of winter, this is gonna be a very warm room and area of the building. Few steps down and tiny little room, even gets cooler. Ideal, perfect place to keep your fruits and vegetables during the hot days of summer. Natural cooling system. You know why? Because it's connected to the wind tower room.
There is always a time to say goodbye to even the most beautiful things in this world. What you take from that location or moment is usually what you see or experience towards the end. An unforgettable taste with a beautiful color. And very exciting recipe create an experience that I will take with me from Baran Guest House. The exciting thing about all these traditional guest houses is the fact that they're all different in some ways. One is famous for its traditional elements. One is known for its design and decorations. And the other has some very moving stories about the people who live there, the people who run it now, their families and their relatives. Local people of different regions of Iran, full of love and passion, the most hospitable hosts that I have ever seen in my life. Jahangir Guest House is one of the few places that you can have a unique experience of meeting local elders, hear their stories, and learn about their experiences. One of the benefits of staying at local guest houses is to have a chance to have this first-hand experience of seeing local handicrafts being made. You see the whole process, and you have a chance to see the craftsman who's behind this precious product, behind making this precious product. And I really enjoy interacting with people, talking to them, and of course learning from them. One thing is to hear or imagine how life was back in the old days, especially inside these gorgeous traditional guest houses. Another thing is to live the life of those people in those days. It might be some very simple acts, or even sometimes symbolic, but they definitely worth the try. It feels amazing. Shahryar Azimi for Iran.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran. Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
It is He who has sent His apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that He may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse. أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت القرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones. But it's not enough. Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program, Viewpoints. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Liaqat and Shaykh Latifi. Shaykh Lia, assalamu alaikum to you.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Shaykh Latif, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam to you and to your dear listeners.
Does religion give us true happiness in daily life, or is it just an ethical framework? This is a major question for today's discussion. So let's talk a little bit about the concept of happiness and pleasure or lazza in Islam. Some people might say that religion is in contrast to, or opposes, it's better to say, pleasure and happiness. So some people say that religion might be a melancholic experience or a sad experience, because spiritual developments makes you, we can say, a little bit away from happiness. Of course, I know that happiness and prosperity are two different things, okay? And keeping yourself happy in the hard moments of your life is really a difficult task. I mean, and this is that the concept of patience and sabr and perseverance and resilience, you know. We can say also the concept of qana and contentment show us in life. I mean, based on religious teachings, you can become more happier. I mean, happiness does not necessarily come from the smile on your face. It could have root in somewhere else. It could be patient with your pains. It could be
patient.
It's
an inner state, basically.
Yeah, yeah, okay. That's it. So, are we recommended in Islam to, for example, every day, out of the scope of religion, make ourselves happy or something? Based on some experience or something? I don't know.
Do you think we are not allowed?
Through, I don't know, through plays or something? Or
why not, actually?
Okay, so Islam is not that much radical, okay, in terms of the ISIS format.
No. Actually, I was going to tell this as well, that yes, we said we have some forms of fake happiness, but it doesn't mean them being fake doesn't mean we shouldn't have them. Yeah. Okay, so we have them. I mean, the limit is important. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, especially when you do it in a proper way. Like, for example, if you create those moments with your loved ones, you try to have quality time with your loved one. You want
the halal entertainment.
Yes, halal entertainment. We have a hadith that the lazza of a good believer, true believer, there are three share of it. One share is the halal entertainment that he has with his family
members,
loved members. Right. So, yes, it is there. What I wanted to say was that if you focus on that meaning of happiness only, that's going to destroy your life. Uh-huh. So you have to have that as well. But again, even there, you have to channel it. You have to direct it towards a goal. Like, for example, when you spend your quality time with your children, entertainment, having with your wife or anything, you're actually strengthening the core of your family. Mm-hmm. That's something, that's some sort of investment, some capital that you're going to use later on. So the thing that you said about the difficult moments in life, you should be ready for them. You should be happy, or you should control yourself, or you should be patient. There's this saying that says you should prepare for the winter from the summer. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. It's not that at that moment I decide to be happy. It doesn't work like that.
All right.
If you have not built yourself at the time of like joy and ease in life for the difficult moments,
all right,
it's not that in those difficult moments you can control or manage it. And it how it starts is by keeping a balance and moderation.
All right.
When there are moments of happiness, do not become like overtly happy.
Very good.
And when there are times of difficulty and sadness, do not lose hope completely.
Also, do not be jealous of other people's happiness.
Yes,
so much, okay?
Yes.
Because sometimes the people say, wow, how happy is she or he, okay? They don't know that inside their heart, they might not be happy, okay?
Especially at the time of social media, we can spend like, this is some phenomena that did not exist before, and nowadays our youth, they're dealing with this seriously, and there are studies, not by us, by those people who created Insta themselves. They think this is destroying the lives of people.
Did you see the clip of the wife and husband who are making a clip and they are facing happy face of the
vlogs,
the selfies and the blogs? Okay, the second it's done, they fight. They start quarreling back the scene. Okay, so I mean, so what you see is a fake happiness over the faces and the laughing and something like that, but in reality, this is something else. Okay. Another question, Sheikh Liad, is the distinction between lezza, happiness, or and sa'ada. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that's a kind of happiness too.
Mm-hmm.
So how we can, for example, make our happy lifestyle into a kind of prosperous lifestyle.
Amazing. So true happiness, that is sa'ada, that is attained,
yes,
through sakina or tranquility, or example, that is the state of where a person is achieving, that is the state of inner peace, basically. Mm-hmm. Sa'ada comes, has very deep roots with inner peace, and it has deep roots with rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. True happiness is in the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the actual state of Imam Hussein al-Islam, when we, just like this, the Sheikh has pointed towards, his face would turn more brighter. Mm-hmm. His actions, it's like he's ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the state in which we find Imam Hussein al-Islam when he's going into the battlefield, yeah?
Yes.
So this is the sa'ada, this is the true happiness which Imam Hussein al-Islam had. Of course, he had the gham and sorrow,
yes,
of his family people and his brothers and, I don't know, like
his
children, everyone killed, yes, getting killed. This is there. But the true rida, the true happiness, the satisfaction, mm-hmm, the state is at a different level. And yeah, when we speak about pleasures, example, that is lezza.
Yes.
Of course, Islam has never told us to stop ourselves from lezza. Of course, the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wasalam, the prophets,
yes,
even they used to have lezza. It's a halal lezza.
They have to be guided into the right path.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
so
right.
There are boundaries, there are red lines, yes, for every single lezza. Lezza of ice, example.
Mm-hmm.
Lezza of tongue. Lezza of stomach.
Yes.
Everything has its own,
yes,
lezza, isn't it?
Yes.
So lezza is like the pleasure. Pleasures are allowed, and of course they have a limit. Example, if a husband is looking towards his wife with lezza, with,
yes,
pleasure, that's completely allowed. But the same person can't look at a non-mahram with the same eyes,
uh-huh,
with the same pleasure.
Okay.
Example, yeah.
That's right.
So the pleasure which is attained in halal manner, like this husband looking towards his wife, or the wife looking in the form of lezza, pleasure towards her husband, actually is worship in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they're following their religion over here. You see, this in turn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create a sense of happiness because of this very pleasure.
Okay.
Example, because of what the relationship which they are having, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place sakina, will place mercy, mawadda wa rahma. Yeah,
right.
Just like Allah has said in the Holy Quran. Allah will place extreme love between
all
them.
Right.
Allah will place. You see, this is the result of having good and halal pleasure.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Likewise, if this is basically what I want to point out is pleasure, if it is in line with the laws of Allah subhanahu,
mm-hmm,
wa ta'ala, will definitely bring true happiness, that is sa'ada.
Very good.
If the pleasure is not in line with the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there won't be any kind of happiness. There,
okay,
would be regret, just like the Sheikh has pointed.
That's right.
After the pleasure, there would be a lot of miseries, pain, sorrow, grief, everything, if the person is God conscious.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Sheikh Latifi, in our religious experience, can shedding tears make us happy?
Extremely.
Okay.
Yes.
It
indeed,
seems contradictory.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems contradictory.
First,
I mean,
of all, there are some tears that are not tears of sorrow, and there are tears,
right,
of joy. That's something. Okay.
Okay.
Even tears of sorrow,
uh-huh,
if they are meaningful, like for example, the tears that we shed in the majalis of Abu Abdullah,
uh-huh,
yeah,
or the tears that we shed in the depth, the heart of the night, and you wake up, you offer some midnight prayer, and we have a hadith that qatratu dam'atin, a drop of tears that a person, a believer, sheds at the middle of the night because of the khawf, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This fear, some people, there is no good translation for the word khashya. Khashya is a sense of awe and bewilderment,
yes,
and perplexity,
yes,
that you have when you encounter the names of glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm.
Like for example, you can give this example, that you are invited to a high-ranking meeting with, I don't know, some very high-ranking official, and you love it to go there,
yeah,
and at the same time you have some sort of fear that I might not make a
mistake. Example, you are meeting Ayatollah Khamenei.
Something like this. Yeah, some people, they shed tears, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But this is not the tears of Khawf. This is, so even those tears, and then afterward you can ask people. I don't know if there is any survey on this or not, but everybody attests to this, especially after the Majalis of Abu Abdullah.
Yes.
There is some sort of feeling the joy, some sort of a spiritual joy.
A kind of relief.
Yes.
Relief
and a kind of satisfaction.
And then a spiritual sense that they have, and they start cracking jokes, and those jokes are very like high quality after the Majalis.
Yeah.
That people, they start, they feel a new level of friendship that they have created together. Or for example, when we go to Arba'in together and we come back.
Yeah, yeah.
So some of the best memories that you can have is through those difficulties or those experiences, even difficulties.
The kids. Look at the kids' life. In the Majalis of Abu Abdullah, in the most of the really, and this has been done through research, that the kids are happier in the Majalis that are done for Ahlul Bayt. I mean,
Rather than the parks or something like that.
So it is a religious experience, but they are happier. It seems they are happier.
Even we are happier.
Yeah,
like after majlis, like we feel a kind of
happiness
in our heart.
Inside,
something
right.
has been achieved.
The feeling
of accomplishment. I have attained something. There's something in my heart. Like I feel fulfilled in the eyes of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala.
Without sinning.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now talking about the kids. Well, I have taken my kids different trips here and there, okay? But alhamdulillah, this year we were blessed to go to Arba'in.
Mm-hmm.
And something that we do is that after a while, we go through the pictures and we have the memories. So both for those trips and for the Arba'in.
Yes.
But none of them was, I mean, the reaction that I would receive from my kids was not like the one that they would show me for the Arba'in pictures.
For the Arba'in procession.
Mm-hmm. So
right.
like, for example, for other trips, they would say, okay, we had good time. But for this one, they would almost starting to cry. That's
different.
You should take us again to this trip,
yes,
right?
Indeed,
and right. then I was stressed because next year, it is in the summer. I don't know how I can manage to take them. But then, because, it's not a very, like, easy trip. There are difficulties.
Yes,
there are moments that... But at the end of the day, they felt that they had done something great.
My kids too, when I take them to Karbala every year through Ba'ath, whether Arba'in or Narabi, it's a completely different one, okay, for them.
Mm.
Lots of experiences from here and there, going to these shrines. And you know that just go to the shrines and the courtyards of the holy shrines, you could find the happiest kids in the world. Mm,
playing
the court.
It's like a playground for them.
That's it, all right. So... religion and religious experience can make us happy, a kind of happiness that all the family members are happy, even the people over there are happy, we can say, without any kind of a specific cause, okay, without someone making you happy. You're happy from inside, the real meaning of happiness. And God's eyes over there are over you, in the happy face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, and then you are happy because of the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you very much, Sheikh.
Thank you.
Latifi and Sheikh Liaga for a nice elaboration. So Islam is not a harsh religion.
Thank
Islam
you.
Is a kind religion. Prophet Muhammad was the kindest of the kindest of the kindest. Imam Ali alayhi salam and the whole Ahlul Bayt and Hazrat Hujjah, we can say,
Definitely.
Is the kindest person on the earth now. We can say who is happy, I think. Okay. And when he reappears, everyone will become happy.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
All around the world. And at that time, we can feel, inshallah, and taste the real meaning of happiness,
inshallah.
And the taste of happiness. Inshallah. Thank you very much, Sheikh. Thank you very much. It was very kind of you. I really enjoyed talking to you. Dear listeners, to another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanillah.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always
ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You are listening to the program The Key on Iran Radio with Sheikh Shiraz.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we're going to be examining a very interesting question. And that question is related to an ethical issue. And one of the characteristics that is considered a vice, a moral vice, in Islam in particular and in religion in general. I'm speaking, of course, of self-admiration. As you know, self-admiration or self-satisfaction, you might say, being satisfied with oneself, admiring oneself, having a very high opinion of oneself, estimating one's worth more than it really is. These are characteristics that are considered morally reprehensible and, not only in Islam, but also in religion and society in general tends to frown upon such people. Today on The Key, the question we want to pose today with respect to this topic is, according to Islam, what are the effects that result from such a trait? If somebody adopts such a trait, what will happen? In order to answer this very significant question, we can take recourse to an inspiration from some of the hadiths which have been narrated from our infallibles, alayhim salam, regarding this topic. In one beautiful hadith which has been narrated in the Nahjul Balagha, in the section on the aphorisms of Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam Ali alayhi salam has been reported as having said this: Man radhiya an nafsihi kathura sakhitu alayhi, which can be translated as, he who admires himself attracts many opponents against him. Which means that, you know, if somebody admires himself more than he deserves to, people will begin to oppose such a person, and it will lead to enmity and create animosity in the people for him. In explaining this beautiful hadith, Sayyid Razi, the compiler of the Nahjul Balagha, says the following. In the last phrase, because this is hadith is a part of a more lengthier hadith, in this last phrase, Imam Ali alayhi salam has described the consequences and effects resulting from self-admiration, namely that it creates the feeling of hatred and humiliation in others. Thus, the man who manifests his greatness by every pretext in order to make himself conspicuous is never regarded with esteem. People begin to despise him because of his mental or psychological condition in seeking self-conspicuity, and they are not prepared to accord him the worth he really has, much less to regard him as he himself thinks to be, meaning they don't even give him the value that he really has, right? They begin to view him in lesser than what he really is. These are the effects of self-admiration in the light of the infallibles. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the effects of self-admiration in the light of the hadith of the infallibles. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program The Key on Iran Radio with Sheikh Shiraz.
You can also send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Our voice comes from the heart of